Mike Zuzulo, President of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, LLC, Atchison, Kansas.
Mike, we've seen harvest progress slow in many parts of the Midwest because of recent wet, cool weather. What has that done to corn and soybean futures prices?
Well, I think, Mark, you had an opportunity with the report to put more of a role, a bigger role to play in the harvest and that lag that you're talking about. USDA's report, I think, really set us up. It didn't feed the supply bear as the market had anticipated in terms of lowering the corn yield and also dropping the U.S. bean production. And so the market had anticipated bigger production numbers, bigger supply numbers, didn't get that out of the United States. And I think that really opened the door to the price action that we're starting to see. And I think it's mainly been short covering by those supply bears that we've seen so far as we go into the later part of the trading week.
As you talk to growers in certain parts of the Corn Belt, how bad is it when you talk to people that are in maybe the wettest parts of, say, the upper Midwest or through the Delta? Where would you say the biggest challenges remain to get the crop out?
Yeah, that's a great question because I don't think it's very well known, or it wasn't very well known until this week. I think there's an arc that goes from essentially Kansas City, Missouri, up through Nebraska, into the Dakotas, and then back around towards Minnesota and into Iowa. And it seems like the market is really starting to focus more and more upon Minnesota and Iowa, obviously because of the fact that they're going to get a lot colder, a lot faster because of the way the winter trend and the winter weather pattern starting to set up. But it's a substantial area, Mark, and I think the harvest progress numbers, even though we're starting to see a pullback in the aftermath of USDA's harvest progress numbers for Monday afternoon, to see only 38% harvested and to compare that to last year's 47%, that's where the beans are very different in terms of, I think, how the trade's going to trade the corn versus the beans. In other words, between the beans being behind from last year, whereas the corn is still ahead of last year, I think more to your point is these states that have these issues are also starting to report back out of the fields that they've got shatter, that is pods that are busting open. They've got beans that are starting to germinate in the pod from too wet of weather, especially if they've been packed down from the heavy, heavy rains that we received in the southwestern corn belt or southwestern bean belt. And that would be anywhere from Nebraska south into Kansas and then back east into Missouri. These are the areas that probably are going to have the biggest damage, if I had to guess.
And those are certainly factors in what has been a strengthening basis here recently after very wide basis numbers on soybeans. Mike, how much upside potential do you see in soybeans as we continue to work our way through harvest, and then maybe even longer term as we begin 2019, farmers thinking about putting this crop in the bin, waiting for a marketing opportunity? What's the upside potential for soybeans? And of course, I should follow that with the risk side and how much further down soybean prices could go, depending on, I'm sure, a number of factors.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to make. I would say very plainly, Mark, this is a market where I think you have almost an equal amount of upside and downside at this stage of the game, because we're roughly 50 cents off the lows from the later part, end of part of September, when it comes to bean futures. As you make a good point, the cash market has not yet reacted to that. I think the processor bids are going to be the first to come back up because our crush pace has been very, very strong, and we're going to continue to feed a lot of livestock into the first half of 2019. The export market is probably going to have to wait and wait until we get a weather market out of Brazil. But it has to be said that we still have African swine fever in China and new cases being reported, and we have a record planting pace coming out of Brazil when it comes to soybean plantings at 20% as of the end of last week, and that beat the 2016 record of 18% and compares to last year's of about 12%. So when I look at the markets, I feel like the national soybean index price running at about 765 currently, I think it has the ability, it's in some locations, to maybe break through the $8 barrier, but not by much more than that. I think that's probably the target prices that I would be laying out for producers. And I started out the beginning of 2018 marketing year with the idea that if I could get between $550 and $650 of gross revenue on soybeans, I would want to recommend hedges for the soybeans for producers. That number still stands unless I'm talking to producers they're going to lose 10 or 15% of their beans out of the field.
What else should farmers be looking at right now as far as what's going on and what's contributing with the market and as they strategize here to hopefully make a profit moving forward?
I think the most important thing that I do for the clients and subscribers in my independent analysis is try and keep track of where I think the market is trading. Right now, I think the farmers that I talk to in the Western Corn Belt and Bean Belt, the locations you and I have discussed, as well as people in Chicago now, since the USDA report came out and the weather is now more known, you could probably assume that the trade will try and take about 2 to 3 bushels off the trade, off the national bean yield, I should say. If they take 2 to 3 bushels off that national bean yield, that would cut our ending stocks by about 265 million bushels. That would equate to about a 620, 625 million bushel carryover. And that, on my analysis, would suggest that we could get those front lead month bean futures markets probably closer to the 915 to 925 level. I think, want to be proactive in letting beans and market beans, both 18 and 19, when you get these kind of rallies because of the trade trying to factor in a lower supply. As you said, the demand is perking up. I will have to point out, though, with even the good weekly export inspections we saw this week, marketing year-to-date, we're still behind 35% in soybeans. USDA for 18-19 at just over 2 billion bushels of exports has us only down about 3-3.5%. So we really are lagging substantially, and USDA probably has not gotten done lowering that export number. So we can talk about yield loss in the fields, and that's valid, but I think we also have to look at the export demand side and maybe that coming down in terms of future USDA reports. So be proactive if you think the market is indeed factoring in lower yields and lower supplies between now and the next report.
Mike, where can our listeners go to learn more about the work you do?
The best place to go is my website, because I've just redesigned it. I've got a lot of blog posts and a lot of interesting information about artificial intelligence, China's new Silk Road, fake meat, as they call it. It's www.globalanalytics.biz. If you have problems getting on the web or don't do a lot of email and web, call me toll-free, 866-471-2588.